Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rave Reviews Book Club's Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio Show, Bring on the Spotlight. I am your host, Wendy Scott, broadcasting live from Hokitika, West Coast, New Zealand. This segment of Bring on the Spotlight is being sponsored by Sam Polakoff, author of Hiatus. We'll learn a bit more about this title later in the show. June is RRBC's Team Appreciation Month. So gracing us with her presence today from Oak Park, Michigan, USA, is Shirley Harris-Slaughter, author of the historical narrative, Our Lady of Victory, the saga of an African-American Catholic community. Listeners, if you have any questions or comments for Shirley during our live show, please feel to join in on Twitter by using the hashtag RRBC. Bring on the Spotlight. Or if you've pre-registered your phone number, you can call into the studio with your questions and comments. We'd love to chat with you. Thanks for joining us today, Shirley. It really is an honour to have you on the show.
And I'm glad to be here.
Wonderful. Shirley, we're just going to jump straight in. Your bio mentions you were employed at the Detroit Free Press and served on the Oak Park School Board. These experiences help to shape the person who sits before us today.
Well, working at the Free Press was an experience. It was an unusual job. I started in the promotion department, which is where they promote the Free Press itself. So they're always doing commercial ads, and they're always critiquing them and making up new ones. And we have to go in first thing in the morning and critique them. So we'll listen to a radio spot ad or a TV spot ad and decide if it's a good ad or not, or if it needs some tweaking. And so I enjoyed that. It was something new and something different, and it was my introduction into the newspaper world, which is like a world like you've never seen before. And when I got on the school board, I didn't plan on it. I was actually helping another person get on, and then after I helped her, she asked me if I wanted to get on, and I didn't. I wanted to be part of the solution in our community and not part of the problem, so I joined. But what shaped me was my mother. My mother was I watched everything that she was doing, and you know, you end up emulating your parents.
That sounds wonderful, Shirley. You also describe yourself as a preservationist. How did this come about?
God, don't even answer that question. I don't know what happened. Was we had this dilapidated train station, and I don't know. I always had a love of trains, even though the only time I was on one was when my mother was pregnant with me, coming from California to Michigan. And I must have got touched in the womb because I always had this love for trains. So when I saw this train, in this state of disrepair, I was going to college at the time, and I decided to use that as my backdrop for writing my paper, you know, for my bachelor's degree. So I figured that would be the only way that I could do it, because then I would have resources that would be available to me. And I used the resources of the city of Detroit. I got them, the council, city council behind me, and I got the go-to person in that department to work with me on doing it. And I got with the Citizens District Council, which is a little community-based organization created to work in small community in impoverished communities. And this was old Germantown community that was changing, and it had a lot of Mexicans and a lot of blacks in it. So they had I worked with the guy over there, and I used resources in order to do it, because I knew I couldn't do it myself. And I also had a questionnaire made up, because I knew I needed to have something to take back to my classroom, you know, to show that I actually did this. So I documented it, everything. I used everybody that I could to make it happen. And I even got the video clip of it. It's a long 2-hour, 3-hour clip that I still have. Maybe someday you all get a chance to see it.
I'd love to see it, Shirley.
Yeah, I don't know how to set it up, but it's on my computer. it's like a slideshow.
Oh, I'm sure we can work it out at some stage. Over on Twitter, Jan Sykes says, Shirley Harris Slaughter, that is such an awesome tribute to your mom and that she shaped you into the person you are today. How cool is that? So let's talk about your biographical book, Our Lady of Victory. The book description states, one action set in motion a chain of events that threatened one Catholic community's ability to thrive. It happened between 1945 and 1946 at the headquarters of the Archdiocese of Detroit in the Chancellor's office. Monsignor John C. Ryan called an emergency meeting with the Cardinal, and so the stage was set for years of turmoil that followed and the subsequent demise of this church. Shirley, during this climate of racial unrest, how do the events surrounding the demise of your church feel similar or related to what's going on in the world right now?
You say how? What was the exact question again? You say how was it related?
Yeah. How do the events surrounding the demise of your church feel similar or related to what's going on in the world right now?
Well, you know, it's systemic. A systemic mindset that said black people do not count, and when they started this church, they didn't start it with any idea that it was going to succeed, because they never assigned a permanent priest and they never encouraged black people to become priests, because the Catholic Church, if you know, they operate along ethnic lines. So they had the Italian priests for the Italian churches, the German priests for the German church, and all of these different priests for the different churches. And I learned this during the research because I didn't know this. But they didn't have one. They always had a missionary priest for the black church, and usually the missionary person was white. But he was more empathetic than the regular priests who were not trained to evangelize, believe it or not. They were just trained to go into a community and do their thing as priests. The missionary priest does a lot of evangelizing. So they're usually were the ones that were sent to the black community. I couldn't figure out why in the devil couldn't they train black people, but they didn't want to, because that's part of the mindset of keeping blacks back, keeping them ignorant, keeping them in need, and that so that the white man can save them. I mean, that was just the mentality. You weren't supposed to know anything. You weren't supposed to do anything. And I started getting angry as I started doing the research and learning all this stuff out, because I didn't grow up around. I was probably around racism, but I was sheltered. I grew up in a black community. All I saw was black people, except for the milkman, the mailman, and the ice cream truck. And the insurance guy was usually black. We had a numbers guy, which was for illegal betting, and black people had to do some illegal things sometimes just to get to survive. You know, so I'm just rambling on and on and on, but it's a systemic thing. And that's why black people are always complaining about this or that, and the other community, whites, are saying, you all complain too much, get over it. But you can't get over something that you can't control, that constantly got a noose around your neck. And when you make policies that keep blacks from finding decent jobs, from finding decent housing, and I grew up in a public housing project, because they didn't even want blacks to build single-family homes in my part of the town. So we had these two-story project housings that were built up during World War II for Henry Ford's auto plant so that the workers could come in and take these jobs. And so a lot of blacks came up from the South for those jobs, but they had problems finding housing. So it was a mess. So they built this community, and blacks had money to buy homes, but they wouldn't let them. They put them in these housing projects, and they put them up all over the United States, you know. So, but in between that, blacks somehow act out a living. Those that could make it did, you know, but the vast majority of them couldn't make it, so they ended up in these poor communities. And so that's the systemic racism that goes on, just little policies that are created to keep black people in a certain position.
Oh, it's tragic, absolutely tragic, Shirley. I've just gone over to Twitter, and Joy Nuoso Lo Bamajoko, she says, "I don't think the world wants solution solvers, Shirley." That's a very sad statement, Joy.
Well, you know, I think now the tide may be changing. If you notice on the news, you've got whites as well as blacks and other groups coming together and protesting. At least in my country, they are. They're protesting all across the country, and they have not stopped since George Floyd got killed. So there's a change, looks like it's coming about. So I pray that we get policies that will work towards building our community up.
They were protesting over this side of the world as well too, Shirley. So it's gone global. It absolutely has.
Well, that's wonderful. I think it needs to, because I think it's disgraceful that a race of people could do that to one race and continue to do it decades after decades after decades until that race just knows it's not going to go anywhere, so it doesn't even try. It's just horrible. You know, I was affected by it. My father was very much affected by it, and he had a drinking problem that spilled over into my parents' marriage. So it's there. It was a lot of alcoholism in the black community.
North Anoni Jules says, "Shirley Harris Slaughter is the perfect guest for this topic. Let's learn something important today."
Thanks, Nani, for that input.
Jan says, "It's sad, Shirley, that we still see the same oppression today based on the color of your skin." You're right. It is a systematic problem.
Yes, I'm just glad that people are waking up to it. They just talked about two blacks who they found them hanging. It's like lynched, and they were trying to say it was suicide, but now they're doing a thorough investigation, because who lynches themselves in this day and time? So I personally believe they were murdered. And this went on without any regards to punishment. And that's why that guy killed George Floyd the way he did. He thought he could get away with it, because they got away with it.
I know, it was absolutely horrendous seeing what went down. Unbelievable. It was sort of like you didn't want to believe that it was actually real.
Well, like I said, I didn't grow up around it with me personally, except through what my father may have went through, but it affected me, and it affects you in ways that you don't realize until you grow up one day and you realize, wow, this is what was happening to me when I started writing this book, and I went through that revelation. My husband said, "You were just naive." I said, "I guess I was, because I didn't know they were doing all of this stuff, like trying to kill Our Lady of Victory before it even got started. You know, they were trying to actually stop it from being a church." And I thought, wow. And so I had a lot of negativity in the writing when I first did the manuscript. And this priest that I took the manuscript to said he couldn't support it because, you know, I think it was too raw and too real, and I was maybe sounding too negative. So I had to go back and take my thoughts and my feelings out of it, you know, and just tell it like it is, put it out there, and make no apologies for it. And so that's what I did.
Oh, Joy also comments, "It is awful to think that the Catholic Church also segregated. The thing is that not much has changed since then."
No, the Catholic Church was notorious for not being a voice of reason. In fact, they were part of the problem. They were doing the same thing. But it's funny, they had these ethnic churches. Why couldn't they just give us one too? Give us the same level playing field they was giving everybody else. They didn't want to. They didn't feel a need to do it. They felt that we were inferior like everybody else did. And they were out to prove it.
Nonny also mentions, I saw those stories, Shirley, about those lynchings. Right. Who did that in the same age? So they're digging into these cases today. Maybe a change is going to come this time. And Joy also said, change is trickling in. It will take a long time coming, but it will come.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Shirley, can you please share with our listeners a positive or inspirational memory from your time at Our Lady of Victory?
It was like a family. I came into it at the age of 8, so I saw the side before and the side after. My mother, she always sent us to somebody's church, but because she was a Christian woman. But when she found the Catholic Church, she, you know, we discovered just a whole new world. We got to go to Catholic school. We got to take our first Holy Communion with our classmates. And we had the same things in common. And I love that about that way of life, was that having that commonality. But that was swiftly taken away because we didn't have the longevity of having a priest there. The longest one that was there was, from my memory, was when I was a child. And he left before I even graduated from grade school. He was gone. And he was all I knew, so I'd seen him all of my Catholic life. He brought us into the Catholic faith. So my take on all of it was the experience I got, the education I got, and the sense of being a part of a family that helped my family, because we were poor. My father left, and my mother had to rely on the help of strangers to help us to survive. So it was like a big family community. And that's what I loved about it.
Jan Sykes says, great point, Shirley. A level playing field is not too much to ask, with a big exclamation mark.
Yeah. And that's not asking for today.
Yeah. Nonny asks, have you noticed the Catholic Church of today is much different from the Catholic churches of old?
Well, yes, they have changed. It used to be in Latin. Everything used to be in Latin. Now it's in English. It's just not like it used to be that they don't have the nuns because they can't afford. The nuns have to live, too. So that era of having nuns work for a dime a day is over. So there's a lot of changes that went on. I think people were more humble back in past times than they are today. The Catholic Church's credibility is in my opinion, it is at an all times low. So, and I'm still hanging on by a thread.
Shirley, you're a long-standing member of RRBC and one of the hosts of the Brave Way show, Raters Not Haters, one of my favourite shows, I must say. After almost 7 years of membership here, what are your feelings about the Rave Reviews Book Club? And how has being involved with the RRBC community benefited you?
Well, I think RRBC is it's just phenomenal as far as I'm concerned. I don't think authors, I wouldn't have had a platform for this book had it not been for this RRBC community. So it's definitely needed for independent authors. You know, I think I lost my train of thought of what you were asking, though.
Just what's your experience being with the club?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've enjoyed it. The president is nice. She's engaging, and she when I first started, she always made sure I was on top of everything that she was doing because I got lost along the way, you know. So
there's always a lot happening.
Yes, there's a lot happening, but I think she does it so that it's geared to a whole bunch of people in this community. We got I don't know how many members we got, but we got enough that everybody's can get involved in any given thing. You know, you shouldn't be up to two people that try to carry the whole load, you know. if everybody got involved, somebody could be over here at this block too, or somebody over there at this block too, you know, and you wouldn't have to feel like you have to be there for everybody because you have the whole community working with you. But
yeah,
it's a good club, and it's good for people that are trying to get their books off the ground and get known.
Yeah, it's very much a pay it forward community. You know, we all help each other out. Is there any advice that you'd like to give any new RRBC members?
Any advice I'd like to give RRBC?
Yes, anyone just joining RRBC, is there any advice you'd like to give them?
Oh, just to tell them to read their how-to list once they get their packets, to try to understand how to get involved, because a lot of times people come in and they're just sitting there and they're not trying to figure out how to do anything. And I've had to mentor a couple of people coming in the past who I saw lingering around and didn't know exactly what to do. So I said, well, go back to your pack, read it. You need to be reading your weekly notes that Nani sends, you know, when she was doing that. You know, they need to pay attention to what comes into their inbox. And try to just be supportive, find a niche to be supportive in.
That's a great advice, Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
Just over on Twitter, we've got Joy says, systematic racism is real. It exists. It has had such a deep root in this country that it will take a long time to uproot. For peace sake, it must be uprooted.
Yeah, well, those people are going to have to just die out, because we can train the younger ones can be trained. But once they start from young people, it is difficult to get it out of them, but they can turn around. The old ones, they just need to die off somewhere, because they just like the ones that were turning that black young man in. Usually they're older white women who knew that they could get away with that stuff. So they need to go, and the older white men who are entrenched in that Ku Klux Klan and that right-wing way of thinking, they need to go. And the culture needs to be retrained, especially in the police department. That's the only way that it's going to – and it has to be done on a national level. And it has to be done by people who are willing to make the change. And it's going to have to come from the perpetrators, because they're the ones that made this country the way it is. They were the ones that committed apartheid in Africa, you know, took those people's country away from them. It's just, I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
Wanda Fisher asks, do you think the country has made progress since the civil rights movement of the 1960s, or has there been a backslide?
I think there's been a backslide. I don't think we've made any progress. When we have to go through what we're going through right now and losing your life, no, we haven't made progress. I worry about my son. I worry about my grandson, who is on his way to Morehouse College, by the way, who's trying to do something constructive. And to worry about their lives, it's unconscionable to have to do that in 2020. So I don't know if we've made any progress. I think we stepped back a couple of hundred years, and we got to go make our way forward, because those problems have never been addressed, and they were always simmering below the surface. And I think when President Obama became president, it bubbled back up to the surface again.
Well, I think everything is certainly under the spotlight now, Shirley.
And I tell you who else I saw them run, Princess Meghan Markle and Prince Harry were run out of the UK because of her blackness. That's the only thing I could see for what they did, and the royal family not protecting them. So I have no respect for the royal family. I think Harry and Meghan are wonderful. They are made for each other, and people need to leave them alone. I've been following her, and it just bothers me to no end what they did, what they were trying to do to her. But she's got a support system called the Sussex Squad that that supports her. I was surprised to find these people. They're online, and they shoot down any of the negatives that are put out there. So more power to them. I'm happy that they're there, and I hope they make these tabloid presses accountable for their bad, dangerous behavior.
I like that. Was it the Sussex squad? It's got a real ring to it, hasn't it?
Yes, yes. And there's an actual Sussex squad on YouTube. And it's a woman that gets on there and she talks. It's like talking on Blog Talk Radio. And she talks about everything that goes down and she tells it like it is. And I just love her. She's picked up from Meghan and Harry. But see, I love Harry. And then Meghan came along and I thought she was a perfect fit for him. So, but anyway, I don't want to get off the subject. We're supposed to be back on Our Lady of Victory.
Well, getting back to RIBC, Jan Sykes says the key word, Shirley, community involvement. We need more of it for sure. And Orthodonny Jules says that's good advice, Shirley. No, actually, it's the best advice. Read everything that goes out. It's all valuable information.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes.
Look, Shirley, the time's actually flown, and I'd like to thank you so much for visiting with us today and letting us get to know you. And thank you for being my guest on Bring On the Spotlight during RRBC's Team Appreciation Month. But right now, we're going to share some news about another RRBC member, Sam Polakoff, author of the book Hiatus.
Hi, it's Sam Polakoff, inviting you to check out my 2018 sci-fi thriller, Hiatus. Imagine your loved one has died. Suppose you could preserve their body in a beautiful place where the deceased can be awakened once a year for 24 hours. This process becomes a reality for its creator, Dr. Ben Abraham, who builds a nationwide business and changes the way we view death. Things go terribly wrong when the technology falls into improper hands with disastrous results. An enthralling sci-fi thriller, Hiatus encompasses life, death, and rebirth across the globe, culminating in a plot threatening the very essence of human existence. To combat the unintended consequences of achieving what was once impossible, Ben Abraham must wager everything to save the world and the company he founded. Hiatus is available in paper and ebook formats at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your favorite online bookseller. Be warned, once you start reading, you won't want to stop.
Now, thanks to everyone who joined us today in the Peanut Gallery on Twitter. Just wonderful to have all your comments. Shirley, after the show, please stop by on Twitter and respond to all the comments on the hashtag RRBC. Bring on the comment, bring on the spotlight, because there's quite a few comments there. Okay? So once again, thanks to our guest, Shirley Harris-Sorter, for sharing with us her book, Our Lady of Victory, The Saga of an African-American Catholic Community. So listeners, if you'd like to learn more about these historical events, then please grab a copy of Shirley's book. It's never been a better time to read it. This is your host, Wendy Scott, thanking you for tuning in today and listening to Bring On the Spotlight, a Rave Waves production. Be sure to join us next time for another episode of Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio, where all things literary are our passion. So until next time, happy reading. Thank you, Shirley.
Thank you, Wendy, and thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure.